So, as Crystal said, this is sort of part of my dissertation. We're talking about peer-run organizations and their coordination with other health providers. The data come from my dissertation, which is the National Survey of Mental Health Peer-Run Organizations, the data I collected with a lot of help when I was at Johns Hopkins, including a grant from the Center for Mental Health Initiatives in my department. Danny Fallon, who's here, is currently the PI of that center. Thank you very much. So this presentation is a little bit of a Frankenstein monster. I kind of wanted to focus a little bit on the health homes, as we've heard people talk about today. Which was one of the aims of my dissertation, and I'm also going to be talking about additional analyses I've done since then. So, briefly, peer-run organizations are organizations or programs operated by people who have received mental health services. Their mission is related to promoting recovery and empowerment through advocacy and supportive activities. The inclusion criteria for this study were developed by a consensus panel. So the organization has to have a board of directors or an advisory panel that's at least 51% peers, the director is a peer, and the majority of staff and volunteers are peers. So to collect the data, we identify the population of peer-run organizations across the United States. The instrument was developed through interviews with multiple stakeholders. It was a web-based survey completed by the directors of the organizations in the summer of 2012, had an 80% response rate, and the final sample, given the inclusion criteria, was 380 organizations in 49 states. So part of the motivation for this study and these analyses was the Affordable Care Act, which includes a health home option through state Medicaid plans. Health homes are care settings or teams of healthcare providers that integrate behavioral and physical health and include components of care coordination and social support. So organizations like these mental health peer-run organizations likely be included to provide some of the social support capacities of the health home. Funders such as Medicaid have indicated interest in peer-run organizations, becoming providers and participating in health homes. Some of the issues that runs throughout my dissertation and much of this research that Bevan and David are doing is that these kind of wraparound services have really been shoehorned into a medical treatment reimbursement system since the 1960s. So a lot of the challenges in implementing these services and funding them come from that tension. So today I'm going to talk about which services peer-run organizations are likely to suggest to their members. Members are clients, people who use the services of the organization, in the current environment of fragmented care, and then talk about their willingness to participate in a health home model going forward under the ACA, and what their concerns might be about participating in health homes. So they were asked about their frequency of suggesting that members use 11 different services. They weren't asked in terms of social or clinical services. I just divided that up that way for space. So you can see that the frequency of referring weekly or daily, sort of focus on what they do more frequently, much more likely to refer to peer-provided services, employment assistance. In terms of clinical services, actually referring to physical health services is much more popular. So I use an ordinal logistic model to compare all these service categories and frequency of referral to physical health services. And they were only more likely to suggest that people use other services daily or weekly compared to monthly or never for employment supports and other peer supports. So that's comparing to physical health services. So these are sort of the most popular services to suggest to their members that they use: physical health, employment supports, and other peer supports. So they were asked if they would be willing to be part of a health home. The plurality said that they would be willing, 32% that they were willing, but they had concerns, 15% didn't know, and 14% said no. So using a multinomial logistic regression, compared the likelihood of saying that they would be willing versus not, basically. So currently, those who currently suggest physical health care to members a few times a week and also plan to encourage the use of primary care as part of integration and had more paid staff, they were larger organizations, were more likely to say that they were willing to be part of a health home versus not willing. And all of those who said that they did not say that they were willing without concerns were asked what their concerns were. So the most popular problem identified was other providers in a health home not understanding their recovery model, also losing control over the supports that they provide their members, afraid of doctors coercing members. Chris will talk a little bit about the history of the consumer survivor movement. Historically and currently continues to be very focused on the coercion force issue with people with serious mental disorders. And again, this issue of conforming to a medical model comes up, which can be very problematic in the reimbursement system. So these organizations are already suggesting their members use physical health care services more frequently than almost any other services other than employment and peer supports. And those who did so fairly frequently, a few times a week, were more likely to be willing to collaborate as part of a health home. But these organizations have concerns about the recovery orientation, other things I mentioned. So as we integrate these integrated care models, I think we should probably first target peer run organizations if they're going to be included in a health home that have already invested in physical health care for their members in some way. This could help us develop more effective models for collaboration for broader dissemination and implementation to the larger population of these organizations. We still need to attend to concerns about power dynamics. And I think we should consider capitalizing on existing community connections, you know, employment supports, connecting people to other peer supports, you know, as well as their preferences for supportive activities and models of care. So if you have any questions, you can follow me on Twitter.